You're listening to The Chris Miller Show.
Hey, folks, this is Chris Miller with Syntagma. We've been doing this podcast now for, I think this is my sixth or seventh one, to talk about UX and design and introduce some of the people that I deal with every day and have some relationships with that I think are seriously top tier at their craft, mainly within design services, creative services, UX. I wanted to introduce Bridget Lyons, who I've been in touch with a long, long, long time and have some history with. Bridget, can you introduce yourself and maybe give a little bit of background on yourself?
Sure. My name is Bridget Lyons. I'm a UX, UI designer. I've been in the business for a little over 21 years. I started off in traditional marketing. Went into digital marketing, then went into user experience, and dabble in a little bit of both, depending on the needs. And my URL is blyons.studio, and that's blyons.studio, S-T-U-D-I-O.
Awesome, awesome. So it's funny that you went from digital design to marketing, and marketing piece, and then you know, the whole digital piece, and then UX and product. So first question for you. And this is something we've talked about before. When someone says, or you say, I'm a UX designer, what does that mean?
I usually ask them what they mean.
right.
Because people have different interpretations of what that really means. So for me, it varies. It depends on the client I'm working with. It depends on the organization that I am employed with. It could mean everything from taking existing requirements from products and creating a user experience based on that, or it can be gathering the requirements myself and or with a team and figuring out where the needs are in the market
or within
the product.
Right, as you know, and it could be anywhere, right? Like solving problems. So you're talking about requirements, and then you know, some people's definition of that could even be, I just wanted to look really pretty, right?
Yes. So then I try and educate them a little bit too. I have some freelance clients that you know I work with right now, and I'm just doing UI, but they keep calling it UX, and it really is just reskinning.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a full-on new user experience, redesigning that experience based on what I can pull out of them and what they are open to allowing me to glean from their clients. So it really varies. I have some clients that, you know what, they have a huge broad market, so I'm able to tap in just by utilizing my own network and do some testing and ask some questions and surveying, and sometimes I don't have that luxury. And I think that's key, is having that flexibility to be able to work within multiple environments.
Yeah.
Because it's not one way.
Yeah, no. Is it just people aren't educated, or people are confused, or, you know, and it's almost like that's a question, you know, it could be a little bit of everything, but then it's almost like, how do you educate and evangelize? Because a lot of people I talk with when they're like looking for opportunities or even looking for hire, they're looking for that overall, like, super design thinking, you know, where design rules before the rest of the business or the marketing people or technology people make the decisions, right?
Yeah.
You know, to your point, it's being flexible and, like, trying to figure this out or that out. And you know, I guess there's no – maybe we just attribute it to there's no one way, right?
I think that's really it. There is no one way. And I think, you know, UX is still in its infancy to some degree. You know, some may differ, you know, some may not agree with me, but, you know, it's now just being part of a curriculum in college. You know, I learn by doing. I learn by asking questions. I learn by, you know, old school information architects.
Sure.
And now, you know, it's really become this kind of amalgamation. It's every, you know, it's just so different based on different needs. I think some people glean onto trend words, and you know, it's the trendy thing to do. You know, I know people that have done that. You know, it's like, oh, well, I want UX. It's like, well, you just want a redesign of your website, and it really comes down to, you know, just a website redesign, not necessarily hardcore UX. You know. But it really just differs. And I've done some education in terms of, you know, educating companies about user-centered thinking and what that really means and what the different exercises, you know, what they look like and how you, how everyone within the organization contributes to UX, not just the UX designers. And I've created workshops and I've created educational programs on that when I've, you know, had full-time employment in some organizations that were a little bit more in their infancy. And that's really what it is. It's taking a look at where the organization is in terms of UX and then educating them along the way, but also being flexible to be able to work with them where they're at and meeting them where they're at.
Well, that was going to be my next question. How do you get buy-in? And I guess, it depends on the organization because, you know, unfortunately, we're all learned and taught to put things in a box, right, and call it this. Either hiring or whatever it might be, you got to call it something, right?
Right.
And what starts out what you might call it as, you know, the design lead or the director or creative director or UX lead or whatever it might be, by the time it might get to, you know, talent acquisition, HR, operations, whatever it might be called something different, right? But that's interesting, and how you said that about the evangelism piece, which I think is huge. But it's kind of like, where do you draw the line between evangelism and actually just knocking out work, right? And I guess you dip your toe into it when you need to dip your toe into it. Hopefully, you know, everybody listens and follows it, and that's interesting. So here's a question. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I could keep talking about that forever. So.
it's a real thing. We talk about it. I mean, everyone I talk to, everybody on this podcast, that's what we talk about, and we're trying to solve it. But then, you know, even now, maybe there's no way to solve it. I don't know. But you got to, I define UX by saying, you know, it's almost like, you know, ease of use, right? Simplifying, right? Basically.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because when I talk to people, and you see it in hiring, absolutely, you know, somebody characterizes themselves as a UX designer.
Oh, yeah.
The portfolio is all over the place, right?
Right.
And it's hard to get through. It doesn't really have a narrative, you know, and even just a basic resume. You know, I saw someone, and I remember looking at the resume, and first was like, you know, well, this person's a creative, but also the communication of their resume, and like even the font, the typeface, the size of the font. Now I'm starting to think, well, this is so easy to get through. It looks kind of goofy, but I get it. So, I mean, do you even think just even like in the resume being palatable or digestible? I mean, I think a UX person should have just a different resume, right? Almost like a designer.
They do, they do. I struggle with that myself because I came from that traditional background and I have that conceptual marketing as well as, you know, being able to conduct research and, you know, wireframe concept and wireframe solutions to prototyping to UI design. So I've even done content strategy. So I run the gamut and I struggle with that. I think you really need to pick your strengths and what you're most passionate about, not what the industry is saying what's hot right now. Because people are going to see through that. And as a hiring manager in the past, I've seen through that. And sometimes I don't even look at the resume. I look at what's on their portfolio, how they're presenting it, and read between the lines, and then have a conversation with them and ask the right questions and try to just keep it casual, because the more casual the conversation you keep it, the more they'll talk and the more you'll understand how they work and how their mind works and how their thought process is.
You know, it's interesting when we talk and you position yourself, because people position yourself a certain way, you always position, at least you have positioned yourself, maybe not always, and obviously it's dependent on the audience, but you say, I'm a hybrid, right? You say that a lot. Which I understand what that is, and some people might, but what is that, you know, because you could be a hybrid of a multitude of things, right? But you're sort of like hybrid visual and then the UX piece.
Right. And some people call that, now the new term is product designer. So that's really what essentially a hybrid designer is becoming. There's a hybrid kind of on its way out the door, even though I still use it. I call myself a multidisciplinary designer. But when I talk about UX and when I present UX, I'm using the right language and I'm crafting it the right way to communicate that, why, yes, I have the flexibility and ability to be able to pivot when I do, but I do know what I'm talking about in context, right? So
yeah.
That's really key. Yeah.
To that point, it's almost like, you know, when you talk about, now I talk about product designer, now I'm going back old school. You know, my definition of a product designer, and this is based on, again, the audience and the people I dealt with. I had done a bunch of recruiting for Johnson & Johnson back in the day for people to design their toothbrushes and then the palette that they would go on in big box stores, and that was what they were calling a product designer. So then it's, you know, more confusion. Granted, that's a maybe outdated term, but that's interesting about that.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting about, you know, different, you know, when you're called in or you have a project, it's different functions. You're talking about content strategy. You kind of have to do what you have to do, right? I guess it's always a moving target, depending on the project.
Yeah. And I've always gravitated toward to companies that have, you know, maybe they're a 30-year-old startup terms, or maybe they are just a startup, or maybe they're a larger organization that is, you know, like J.P. Morgan Chase. When I worked there, they were making the shift and change from.
Sure.
You know, waterfall thinking to old school thinking and development to this new user-centered thinking and agile approach. And they're making huge shifts. And to me, that's really exciting. So you need to be able to, you know, be agile and be able to move and be open to different approaches. And, you know, that's when you learn the most, too. That's when you when you grow the most in terms of your career, and that's when you're, you know, I like being a part of that exciting time within an organization. And you really do learn a lot, and it's been a great experience for me.
But, you know, even with the job titles thing, I mean, there's people, you know, and, well, maybe they're in systems or software internally, even on the IT side, right, who are doing UX, but their job title is attached to something completely where you're like, that doesn't even cross your mind, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes you just have to do what you have to do to get the job done. And sometimes don't always have the luxury of, you know, hiring multiple positions. That's why the product design role has become so popular in that hybrid role. It's because organizations, because there are some people, you know, that can do both. And there are some people, there are some people that can't. But you don't know until you try it too. You know, I was able to make that shift and make that change. And I'm a very analytical thinker. And I think that is something that has really allowed me to make that shift very early on in my career. And, you know, I also took the risk and took the chance. You have to be willing to be able to do that as well and be okay with me. But that's where growth happens. But, you know, the hybrid role is so popular because most companies can't afford both, or they don't understand the need for both. There is a need for both depending on the maturity of the organization.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to scale, right? It's sometimes like, and that was going to be one of the questions, but, you know, we'll talk about, you know, how do you quantify US? Is it downloads? Is it product thought, is it, you know, this, that, or the other, is it brand loyalty, right, things like that. So I don't want to take much more of your time, but, you know, I do consider you, because we've talked a long time, you know, obviously one
year,
and long time. So we, I do consider you top class of what you do. You've always been awesome to deal with, and I want to ask you two very basic questions. I want to say, and I want the first thing to pop into your head. So the first thing is, what is your definition? And maybe not give me an example, maybe put out, give me a name or a URL or an app of a bad user experience. And you can answer it any way you want to answer it.
Oh. There's a lot of that. I don't know that I have just one.
Okay.
That's
a fair answer.
That's a tough one. I don't know that I have this one in some of the, you know. That's a tough one.
Okay, well, let's move on to the next question.
I don't really have an answer. It really depends.
That's
a really tough answer. That's a tough question.
What is an example of, and let's talk about on the digital product side, the stuff that we're all attached to all day long. What is your definition of outstanding user experience where you're like, that is... Love it, love it, love it.
Oh, Spotify, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It's so simple, so innovative, and just so classic at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it makes sense. We all use that. That's awesome.
Yeah, and that's one I use. Oh, put me on the spot. That's tough. There are a lot of them. I mean, I could say, you know, Spotify is one of the popular ones, too.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
Fine. You didn't see that one comment. I didn't put that in the notes, so it's cool. Well, let me do this. Let me do one more introduction or conclusion to yourself. How do people reach you? You know, where to find you on LinkedIn? You know, so they can talk with you or connect with you or do whatever they want. And you know, I appreciate your time as usual. You know, this is why we do these calls. I just think they're always positive, and people can truly relate to all the stuff we talk about, because every day we talk about this stuff. The confusion or what it is and that, and we put it in a box. Is it this, and what's your definition versus that person's definition?
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm Bridget Lyons of Studio B Creative Company. That's how you can find me on LinkedIn. You can also find me under Bridget Perry Lyons. That was my maiden name. You can find me on Instagram under B Lyons Studio, and my URL is www.blyons.studio, and you can find me on Dribbble, too, under BLyons98.
Awesome. Bridget, thank you. This is Chris Miller with Syntagma Group, handling, UX recruitment and design services. Would love to work with anybody, but appreciate your time. Have a good weekend. And, Bridget, still, you should check out Second Jetty, like I told you last time we talked. In Monmouth County. Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
I will. Right. Thank you. And have
Thanks,
a good
Bridget. See ya.
Okay. We'll talk soon.
You've been listening to The Chris Miller Show.